This is Nightline.
Tonight, abortion showdown. We're on the ground in Arizona in a race against time.
I didn't go to medical school to go to jail.
Bracing for a possible total ban on abortion.
It's pretty scary, honestly.
The archaic law enacted more than a century and a half ago, before Arizona was even a state, and life was very different.
Women had no vote. Slavery was legal.
The galvanizing effect this could have on other states.
It absolutely will impact how I vote.
Plus, all I wanna do is have some fun. Sheryl Crow, newly inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, all she wants to do is keep making music her way.
When you get to be a certain age, you're not competing with the younger crowd.
Opening up about the sexism and ageism she's faced in her three decades in the business. And Evolution, the album she never thought she'd finish.
These songs kept pouring out of you.
You know what? This thing just turned out to be like an emotional download.
And the pop megastar she'll be touring with this summer. And Heart of Glass, 25 classic recordings preserved as treasures by the Library of Congress.
Nightline, we'll be right back.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. All eyes are on Arizona, as tomorrow could be a pivotal day in the fight for abortion access. As the clock counts down to a total ban going into effect, the state legislature is scheduled to meet and could possibly decide the future of abortions in the state. In the midst of the uncertainty, patients and providers in Arizona are scrambling. Here's ABC senior congressional correspondent Rachel Scott.
At clinics across the state of Arizona, there is a growing sense of urgency and anger in the air.
I didn't go to medical school to go to jail.
If this law goes into effect, we have to legally cease providing all abortions.
For doctors trying to avoid arrest,
all right.
Then patients seeking care,
one person left. Hi.
It's now become a race against time again.
It's pretty scary. I don't want any other woman to suffer.
The women who might not have the opportunity to get abortion care in a few weeks, I feel a profound amount of sadness.
I'm angry. This is a fight we need to not give up.
The confusion and chaos kicked off just days ago after the state Supreme Court ruled that an abortion ban from 1864, before Arizona was even an official state, could go into effect.
The law is confusing and vague. It was written 160 years ago.
Arizona is just the latest state to institute a highly restrictive abortion ban, but this particular law is sparking backlash and could signal a turning of the tide.
When the Dobbs decision came down, conservatives and Republicans said they supported laws like this one because it made abortion harder to obtain. But perceptions have changed. Most major Republicans in Arizona are now against this law.
And the timing is key. Arizona has become one of the most crucial swing states, helping tip the 2020 election for President Biden. Both sides are now wondering if this is all a warning sign of voters bucking abortion bans come November.
Please, can we help you keep your baby in any way, shape, or form?
We saw some boyfriend walk up and was like arguing with the protesters as he's
since the court decision, Dr. Gabrielle Goodrick hasn't taken a day off.
How you guys doing?
She owns Camelback Family Planning in Phoenix, the state's busiest abortion provider.
Abortion care is not going to go away, no matter what the laws are or the restrictions. Half of all pregnancies are unplanned, and half of those pregnancies end in an abortion.
In the nearly 2 years since Roe v. Wade was overturned, uncertainty and confusion have almost become the norm in Arizona. Clinics like Goodrick's have periodically had to halt services. The state went from allowing abortions at 24 weeks to 15 weeks, and soon, not at all.
The law that they want to enforce was written by one single white man in 1864. During the Civil War, many of those laws would make our stomach girl. The age of consent is the age of 10. A person of color can't testify against a white man. Women had no vote. Slavery was legal.
So far, no one can say exactly when the ban will go into effect. Is it 2 weeks? Is it 45 days? 60 days? No one knows.
What we're hearing from patients is fear, calling, when is this effective? Oh my gosh, can I get the care that I need? I mean, one patient called, she didn't even have a positive pregnancy test yet, but her period was late and she was panicking. What if it's positive? Where am I going to go? What's going to happen? This is causing a lot of chaos, and not only for staff, but obviously for patients.
It would be financially irresponsible to have a child right now for us.
At Dr. Goodrick's clinic, we met a young woman who asked us to call her Penelope. She just moved from Indiana, a state with an abortion ban.
The law being from 1864, it's hard to really articulate how I feel about that. The fact that the law is so old, it proves to me just how archaic our government can be sometimes.
So do you have any questions about when you go home?
We also met Amaretta, a single mom of one. She doesn't feel like she can put her body through another pregnancy.
For me to carry another baby would be a lot of wear and tear on my body, and I want to raise a daughter that I have now.
She told us if this happened after the ban, she would not have the money to travel out of state.
Getting transportation, time off work, child care, gas money, a car that works. I mean, it's, you know, it's hard.
With so many states restricting or outright banning abortion, especially across the South, abortion-providing states are hard to find. Arizona was one of them.
We've gotten patients from Texas. We've gotten patients from the Deep South, from states like Idaho and Ohio.
Just a few miles away, Dr. Deshaun Taylor is also working nonstop. She's a board-certified OBGYN and the sole owner and CEO of the Desert Star Institute for Family Planning.
Do bans like this one really stop abortions from happening?
Bans don't stop abortions. My biggest concern is the criminalization piece.
Dr. Taylor's clinic is smaller, but no less important, especially since she's one of the few black providers in the state. Despite her convictions, she says she has to abide by the laws. She can't risk going to prison.
I feel that I just want to be real about my intention to stay free. Black women physicians are 2% of the physician workforce here in the United States. So my existence matters. They come here because I'm here, and I don't take that for granted.
Arizona's Democratic Attorney General Chris Mays says she won't enforce the 1864 law, but she acknowledges she can't stop local prosecutors from doing so.
I would urge Arizonans who are pregnant to make a plan. And I can't believe I'm having to say that. Start thinking about California and Nevada and New Mexico or Colorado.
Dr. Taylor is focused on keeping her doors open, even if the ban goes into effect.
At this point, the goal is to provide abortion care until we can't legally do it anymore.
Are you now preparing that that reality might be sooner than you think?
We are prepared for that reality. And then I think about the staff. You know, they could work anywhere, but they choose to work here.
If the clinic can't provide abortions, that means women like this 23-year-old would have no place to go. She showed up relieved that she made it before the ban goes into effect. She asked us not to show her face.
Were you confused when you saw the news that the Supreme Court is allowing this abortion ban to go into effect?
I thought, what's going to happen when I come into my appointment? Am I just going to be told, no, we can't do it anymore, unfortunately? And I thought, what's going to happen now?
You are here now and you have access to abortion care, but you would not have access to that in a couple of weeks when this law goes into effect. What do you make of that?
It's scary. I feel like the child would just suffer if it came into this life because of the economy right now. I'm not financially good enough to even take care of a child, and I can barely take care of myself at this point.
Unlike in previous years, when the issue of abortion was more likely to draw conservatives to the polls, since the fall of Roe, it has been driving Democrats to vote more than Republicans.
virtually every single poll across any jurisdiction in the United States comes back with a similar result. Most people think that abortion should be available at least some, if not most, of the time. That's true in very red states like Montana and Kentucky, very blue states like Vermont.
Doctors like Taylor and Goodrick are worried that state bans like Arizona's are just paving the way for a larger national play.
Ultimately, the plan is for a national abortion ban. Real people, lives are impacted by these policies.
Former President Donald Trump, who appointed three of the five Supreme Court justices who overturned Roe, had at one time supported a federal ban on abortion. He's now backtracking on that promise.
Why should Americans trust your word that you would not do it now if you were reelected?
Because we don't need it any longer, because we broke Roe v. Wade and we did something that nobody thought was possible. We gave it back to the states, and it's working the way it's supposed to.
That is an outright flip-flop with this Arizona decision. He's had to come out further and say that he actually doesn't think this Arizona law should stand, that it should be repealed and revised.
Donald Trump just said the collection of state bans is, quote, working the way it is supposed to.
Democrats appear to be banking on the backlash to drive voters all across the country.
This is 2024, not the 1800s, and we're not going back.
The Arizona State Legislature was expected to swiftly repeal the law. Even Carrie Lake, a Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, recognizing this could be a lightning rod for voters.
What's really coming in harm's way is this initiative on the ballot. So I think our lawmakers need to do something quickly.
But at the last minute, Republicans blocked that effort. Democrats say they will try to repeal the law again this week, but it could be voters who have the final say. An initiative to protect abortion rights is expected to be on the ballot here in November.
This ballot initiative is going to be successful here because the people of Arizona want people that can get pregnant to have bodily autonomy and get the government out of the doctor-patient relationship.
I will be going through the steps to register to vote in Arizona, and it absolutely will impact how I vote.
Abortion rights has won in all six states where it has appeared on the ballot so far. Does that give you hope?
I do have hope, but honestly, ballot initiative is not a solution. It's not a 50-state solution.
Our thanks to Rachel. When we come back, Sheryl Crow sits down with my Nightline co-anchor, Juju Chang, and reveals what makes her happy.
That makes you.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
And welcome back. She is a nine-time Grammy winner, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. The list of accolades go on. And after nearly three decades in the business, Sheryl Crow is just continuing to create music that just lifts people up. So welcome
Thank
to the
you.
Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad that you're here. Last year, you were officially put into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
Yeah. And yet not a lot of performers can perform with Willie Nelson and Olivia Rodrigo in the same night.
I'm telling you what, that was the most unbelievable night. I wasn't originally slated to get to sing with Willie, but I have to say that just rates up there with one of the greatest highlights of my life. You know?
And yet you do cross genres like that so easily, and generations for that matter. I was looking at the list of artists who cover you. It must feel like so much fun to see people singing your stuff.
It's unbelievable. I mean, honestly, I've heard Haim and Phoebe Bridgers. I mean, so many amazing. It's such a compliment.
That's,
I mean,
so
it really
wonderful.
Is.
You know, you also had a documentary at South by Southwest, aptly named Cheryl,
yes.
where you talk about cancer, depression, serious topics. Well, it's
I was diagnosed with cancer, and I was pissed. I just was like, what the F just happened to my life?
What made you want to share so much?
I didn't really want to do a documentary. Mm. And my manager came to me and said, look, you have a 35-year career. You have stories to tell. You know, they're really focused on my being a woman and the changes that I've seen throughout my life in my business, but also my personal stuff, too. So it was liberating.
And yet, in many ways, give us a sense of what that ageism and sexism felt like over the years. What did that look like?
And what it still feels like. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's interesting when you age out of being relevant anymore, you know. And, I mean, there's something liberating about the fact, though, that, you know, when you get to be a certain age, you're not competing with the younger crowd in that space to appeal to a demographic that aren't people that you're writing for. Mm. You know, I'm not writing for the 16 to 22-year-olds.
You know, a few years ago, I read that you said you weren't going to do another album.
Yes.
And yet these songs kept pouring out of you.
Yes.
What came out? I mean, this is a full evolution, so to speak. A full album.
You know what? This thing just turned out to be like an emotional download. I mean, it felt like with all the talk about artificial intelligence, what that's going to mean for artists. And as a mom, I mean, you know, you're raising a 16-year-old. I'm raising kids who now are growing up with this being the norm. It's an odd thing when you're talking about truth and what truth looks like and what it's going to mean in the future. And so that's how these songs came about.
This is your 11th album. Let's take a listen.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And that is an anthem for not just teenage boys, but for their moms.
That's my
right?
God. I wake up every morning when my alarm goes off just going, I hate my alarm clock.
And it's so much fun and energy, and yet you're also tackling these really serious topics. You're not writing about crushes and heartbreak as much anymore.
No, I'm writing about the things that I find I'm asking questions about, and there's a lot of other people, you know, my age and a lot younger, who are scratching their heads about the same things.
And, you know, there's a lot that you enjoy and that you really squeeze out of, and I really get the sense of it. It's in part inspired by the health challenges that you faced.
I think sometimes we forget that people that we see every day in the press or whatever go through the same things we do. I have always had a clear message about breast cancer, which is simple, you know, get a mammogram every year. But now we're seeing it happen in younger people, lots of different kinds of cancer. For me, you know, raising boys is the greatest gift I could ever have. Everything else is just icing. Yeah. So wherever I can model to them being a good person, it just keeps it simple.
And we want to roll the clock back to the beginning before you went to LA and to pursue your entertainment career. You are a music teacher. What advice do you give to people, not even young people, everyone, about how to appreciate music in your life?
I've seen music do amazing things. I mean, I've seen music, you know, take a child who's non-communicative and really get them outside of themselves. It is a vibrational experience. It is a physical experience. So we keep writing, we keep recording, we keep putting stuff out there, and what a great job.
You're going to be on tour. Tell us about that in the fall.
Well, we're going to Europe in the summer, and then we're going to be doing some dates with Pink. So I'm really excited about that.
Well, we will be looking up concert dates immediately. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Our thanks to Juju. When we return, just what you needed. Classic music from The Cars, ABBA, Notorious B.I.G., and many more. Reserved for all time.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
And finally tonight, songs beloved for generations, honored by the Library of Congress. From Perry Como to The Cars, Notorious B.I.G. to ABBA, and even Lily Tomlin's comedy scene on Laugh-In.
This is Miss Tomlin.
The Library of Congress inducting 25 new entries spanning 9 decades into their National Recording Registry. Blondie's Heart of Glass made the list. Debbie Harry says they had to fight for that song.
When we handed in this album, the record company didn't like it.
The Library of Congress calling them audio treasures worthy of preservation for all time. And that's Nightline for this evening. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.